Good morning, everyone. How is everyone this morning? Hope all is well. You see, I changed my display. I'm finally going to be heading towards Rome. And the ship you see here is a typical ship of that time frame. It was used for hauling cargo. And because he's gone quite a ways, we'll see when we start reading the verses. This is a ship they suspect would have been similar to the one that he might have been on. So we'll start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time we get to spend in your word, and that you can help us to see a new meaning that can help us through our day. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So today we're in Acts 27, starting at verse 1. Won't be as long a reading today. We're going to kind of break this up a little bit as a couple of different spots. Because this is the famous, it'll probably be tomorrow that we talk about the famous shipwreck. So today we're heading out from Caesarea and start reading here in verse 1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustus band. And just as a note, a centurion is actually quite high up in the chain. Kind of interesting that he was assigned to this duty, but that because a centurion is normally in charge of about 100 men, so that's about the size of our modern day company of men. And we also notice here that when it was determined that we, the word we, I've mentioned this before, remember that Luke actually penned this book, so that it looks like Luke was with them. Now, whether or not he was a prisoner or not, that's hard to say because he doesn't really say. There's some evidence that he spent a lot of time with Paul. Obviously, the book of Luke has a lot about Paul in it. And he may have been with him quite a bit. There's not a whole lot of other places that it indicates exactly when Paul was at a certain place. Just a few times, and we've mentioned those. I guess I'd make note of that. Verse 2, and entering into a ship of the Adrenatilium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristocurus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And here's another man that was with them. And as we'll get towards the end here, I'm also going to mention that Titus might have been with them too, but it's not for sure. But I thought it would just give a brief showing here of about where we're heading. You can see over here on the right, we left Caesarea, and we're going to make a quick stop at Sidon here in the next verse, and give you an idea kind of where we're going. Oh, not yet. What was I going to mention? Oh, yeah, that. Let me see if I can find it again. Oh, it is on there. Okay. Back to the map. If you look up along the coast of Turkey there, way up towards the top, you're going to see that Adramatinium. That's probably where the ship originated from. And so he's pretty, he probably knows these waters pretty well. And I bring that out just later on when we get to the part later on in this chapter, you'll see that he was probably pretty experienced in these waters since he was based out of that town. And then we mentioned Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. So I'm thinking he might have been a prisoner too, but it doesn't say for sure that he was a prisoner. But I thought I would mention that back in Acts 19:29 is where we last saw him. And I just refresh our memory. And the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And this was that incident, if you remember, that the silversmiths were upset because Paul was spreading the word that there were no other gods but the one true God. And these guys were ones that made little statuettes of Diana that they sold in Ephesus. And so they were upset with Paul because they were cutting into their livelihood. So they grabbed some of Paul's friends and rushed into the theater, if that rings a bell. Now you can go back and take a look at that. That was during his second missionary journey, I think it was. Might have been the third one, too. I'll have to look back. Sorry. So that was so we see him here again, and he's again with Paul. And also in Colossians, we see him also in Colossians mentioned in Colossians 4:10 and 11. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus. Remember, Marcus was the one that wrote the Epistle of Mark. You see how much all these people kind of were together quite a bit. Sister, son of Barabbas, touching whom you receive. But I only mention this verse because of Colossians was actually written from Rome. So that's why I'm mentioning that he may have been a prisoner also at this point, and that's why he was on board the ship. And in verse 11, it mentions that and Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. I was, he was a Jew, not the real Jesus, but a different Jesus. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. So Colossians was written from Rome. So this kind of gives us a hint that this gentleman, Aristarchus, was a prisoner also and was going to Rome with Paul. We also see him again in Philemon, verse 24. Marcus, Aurelius, Demetrius, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Again, this book was written from Rome also. So I just mention those verses so that people get an idea of how some of these people got to Rome in the first place. Then back to Acts 27, verse 3. The next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And keep in mind this verse, this possibly might have been when, at the end I'm going to mention Titus again. And so I'll keep that in mind, that this verse kind of, that he saw his friends at Sidon, and it's a possibility that a few of the friends may have decided to travel with him. This merchant ship was just a merchant ship, and as we'll see later on, there was over 200 people on it, which I have a little trouble looking at that ship and thinking about over 200 people being on it, but maybe it was a lot bigger than that looks. But also in this verse, we see how and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Sounds like this centurion must have had enough faith that Paul was not an escape risk. But they let him go back. Sidon, as we look at the map again, is right there in Syria. You see it right there. It's not far north of Caesarea. Probably a good opportunity that Paul could have escaped if he wanted to. But so it sounds like that they were building a little bit of a trust between Julius and Paul. And I just mentioned that interesting verse in Proverbs, and something that I'm going to call my good meeting for today. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And I found that proverb to be a good thought to remember for today. Back to Acts 27:4. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed unto Cyprus, and because the winds were contrary. Contrary usually is kind of indicative of, kind of indicating here that they're trying to stay close to land. So it, thinking that they were concerned a little bit about the winds. They call that the leeward side, which is the milder side. And I think that's what they're trying to indicate there. And when we had sailed over the Sea of Sicilia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lucia. Now, I couldn't find much here about here. They just stopped there. It sounds like they just changed ships, or maybe the ship pulled in to resupply. But as we'll see in verse 6 here. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. So it looks like they changed ships at this point. On to verse 7. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Sidius, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salome. And this is where they're approaching our mission for today. I'll bring the map back over real quick, and you can see that it kind of went in between these different islands and then came straight down towards Crete. And it's by the wording, it sounds like that they're saying that the wind was not helpful. So maybe they were trying to find areas to try to catch the wind. Always a difficult task in these days, because they did have some ships that had oarmen to help when the winds weren't blowing. But unlike today, where we have engines and stuff like that, they had to rely on good old wind power most of the time. So here we come, and highly passing it, came under a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already passed, excuse me, Paul admonished them. I'll just take a moment here to mention that he mentions the fast, and that was the Jewish fast of atonement is what he's referencing, and it's usually either in September or October, depending on the year. So we can see what time of the year it is, and I guess in the Mediterranean, once you get in past October, it can be very dangerous to sail in the Mediterranean. And so Paul, in the next couple of verses, is going to have a problem with that. So we'll move on to verse 10. And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And I'll just bring the map over again, but this time a little bit better version of Crete, just to give you an idea what we're talking about here. And you can see Fairhaven there in blue. And you can see where they were. And I guess the harbor there, I'm going to show you a picture of the harbor, is not great for wintering in because of the what they call the north northwestern wind. So they wanted to try to make Phoenix over here at the end of the island. And this whole island is about 160 miles long. So that's no more than probably about 50 miles. But as we'll see tomorrow, things don't go very well. And that's why I'm going to cut off for today. But I'll just mention a few other things of interest. Is that you notice this little town up here called Gortynia. And this is where I found a reference that there's a church at Gortynia that has some stories about when Paul visited there. And from the text, it looks like they were, if you go back to verse 11, let me bring that back real quick. Was it 11? No, 10. Nope, 9. Let's try that again. Okay. And it says that now, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous. So they were at this fair haven for quite a while. Not sure how long. I tried to figure out when they probably left Caesarea to try to get an idea. But most likely that the plan was to make it all the way to Rome before winter, before November, when the winds got bad. And so somehow they got delayed here at Fairhaven longer than they wanted to. So that's why I suspect that some of the other verses I found might be an indication of that Paul was here for a little while and they actually started a church. But nothing's really mentioned here in Acts about that, which is a little bit unusual. But as we're going to see tomorrow, they're going to head out anyways. But just as a note, I found this in Titus 1:5, and we just read it. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I have appointed thee. And this is Paul talking to Titus. And this is some of the famous verses that we read when it comes to choosing elders and pastors and stuff that Paul goes on to explain to Titus. Now, this particular letter was written from Rome towards the end of his ministry. So it was a couple of years later from this time frame. But because he said, for this cause left I thee in Crete, it kind of indicates that they were there together and that Titus was left there. And so this could have been the time frame, because this is the only time that it appears that Paul was ever in Crete. I checked back the other missionary journeys, and he never went to Crete on any of those missionary journeys. So not definite, but it's a definite possibility. And because of the people there, even today, celebrate the time that Paul was there. And there's a church there at Gonia, which I'll show you a few pictures. This is that bay they were talking about. This is a modern picture today of that Fairhaven, the little bay they were in. And that's a church that's dedicated to Paul. They call it St. Paulian Temple or something like that, or something along that lines. And this is a church that's at Gortynia, that they believe is also where the church that was started by Titus. They actually call this the Church of Titus. That's it. Oh no, that's my background picture. Thought I had another picture in here of. There it is. If you see the white church, if you look down below, it's a little hard to see. I had another picture of it. See if I can get it real quick. I'm not going to be able to find it real quick. Anyway, maybe I'll get it for tomorrow. Show you tomorrow. But if you look down, you see this little brown spot here around near those trees. There's a cave there, and they believe that Paul may have stayed there. I'll have some more pictures tomorrow. I thought I saved them of that. Well, they believe Paul may have stayed when he was on Crete. So that's all I had for today. Oh, and also the same legend of that of the people of that area say that Titus was actually martyred on that island in Crete. So he became an elder there. Some other interesting things I was reading about is that part of the reason Paul wrote Titus is that he found the people there to be a little difficult to deal with. And if you read the book of Titus, kind of indicates that Paul was really concerned about finding people worthy to be in certain offices of the church. That it was going to be difficult for him to find people that met the requirements. So kind of an interesting note. So that's it for today, and I'll end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you so much for your word and for this time we spend in your word. And thank you so much for all you do for us every day. And praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You all have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow.